Hello, Morghulis, everyone. Welcome to our very special Hopes and Dreams episode. I'm Kristen.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rima.
This is House Podcastica. As a special extra this week, we've gathered Walking Dead cast, Strange Indeed, and House Podcastica all together to discuss some of our hopes and dreams for season 8 of Game of Thrones, which we're all really stoked about.
Yahoo! thank you so much to Rima for coming on. And Jason, I'm really excited that we kind of get a kickoff a little bit early with season 8 with this episode. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, it worked out, the timing with the rewatch and the premiere for this.
I know, it all worked out beautifully.
Yeah, and I think everybody's properly excited, so it's a good time to have a hype episode, if you will.
I'm still jet lagged, by the way. It's midnight for me right now, but if it doesn't sound like I'm excited, I am.
Before we get started, Jason, you were just at Walker Stalker London and you had some fun panels. Do you want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, I had some of the coolest panels I've ever done because I got to do a panel with John Bradley and Hannah Murray, aka Sam and Gilly, and also Isaac Hempstead Wright, Christian Nairn, and Richard Brake, aka Bran Hodor and the Night King. Which was really like one of those moments where I'm up on stage looking over at the people I'm with going, how the hell did this happen? Like, what is this real? It was really cool. Sam and Gilly were the coolest.
What did Gilly say that her worst ending would be?
I was like, what's the worst ending you can think of for Game of Thrones? And she paused and then she goes, Sam on the throne. And I think she was just saying that to tease John Bradley, but it was funny.
Did he have an answer to that?
No, and I don't think they're all really scared to say anything because they just don't want to give any hints, you know, even if it's just an answer to a question like that, they just don't want to answer it. So I'm totally respectful of that. I'm not out to get any spoilers or anything. I was asking as much as I could, only questions about stuff that's happened in the past, not anything about what's coming up.
It must be really hard to try and even talk about the show for any of them, those poor guys. I'd be so scared that I was going to get, you know, HBO Illuminati shot or something.
I mean, I had a bunch of questions for Richard Brake about what the White Walkers do in their free time and, you know, what's going on in their head. And that was the first one I asked, what's going on? What did you think went on in their head? And even though he had an idea, only that he made it for himself just so he could play the character. It wasn't even something that was told to him. He just made up his own backstory or whatever. He still didn't want to say it because he just doesn't want to say the wrong thing and get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so with our hopes and dreams, so we're going to go on and we're going to do our hopes and dreams for season 8. And then I have some fun rapid fire questions for Jason and Rima. And I also have a tiny little pop quiz for them. So we're going to test everybody's Game of Thrones knowledge tonight and we're going to have some fun.
Well, today I actually had to Google disease where you forget stuff. So that might be an indication of how well I'm going to do on this quiz.
Was it called Alzheimer's?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, yay.
This should be fun.
Well, Rima, as our special guest this evening, do you want to get started?
Sure. I don't have mine in any particular order. I don't have them numbered or anything like that. I just have like 3 listed. So I'll just name off my first one that I have that I would really like to see, and I guess a hope is that Jon Snow kills the Night King. I feel like it's been building for some time that this is what's going to happen, and I know that they like to subvert our expectations a lot, that like they like to kind of feed us things throughout either the season or the series, and then they completely like switch it up to either just for the story or just to mess with us. But I feel like this is something that really needs to happen. And I think that it would serve the story. And I think, yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, the Night King has to die. And I think Jon Snow is the one that has to do mm-hmm. it. He might die in the process or shortly after. But I think that's one thing that I would hope to happen. And I think would be at least satisfactory for me anyway. So that's my thoughts on that one. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the show subverts our expectations. Like the very first huge one is when Ned died, and mm-hmm. But lately,
oh, man, spoilers.
Lately, in I'm just talking about Ned the servant. lately, the show has been still doing that, but more also fulfilling our hopes. And, you know, like with Arya going around killing people off of her list, mm-hmm. like things that we've wanted to see happen actually do happen. So I would guess there's a pretty good chance that that will happen. But yeah, with this show, you just never know.
That's a really good one too, Rima, because I do think that you're right. I think that they've really built up this, this nemesis between, I don't know what the right word is,
Like rivalry, I guess.
Thank you, rivalry. They've really built up that rivalry well between Jon and the Night King, you know, in the Beyond the Wall episode and
Hard Home
for mm-hmm. sure, and Hard Home. Yeah. So I'm really excited to see what happens. You know, Tormund even said in the Beyond the Wall episode, he said, "You kill that guy, everything stops." Because that mm-hmm. revelation came out in Beyond the Wall a couple weeks ago when we watched the episode that, who was it? Jon killed a White Walker and all of the Whites around him died.
Well, and I think that that's what's going to be key also in this big war mm-hmm. that is going to happen. That's kind of what they're going to need to kind of happen to be able to defeat this huge army that they've built.
Right.
And I almost feel like the White Walkers are actually too easy to kill. Because you just need to shoot an arrow tipped with dragonglass at them. And so, you know, Sam was able to kill one. And I've loved everything that's happened. But I've always kind of felt that nagging at me a little bit. And so I wonder if, I just thought of this. But I bet you the White Walkers might find out some way to nullify the effect of the dragonglass. So just when they think they've got it taken care of, then suddenly it's ineffective. I don't know.
Well, and I mean, they might be somewhat easy to kill, but the problem is the numbers.
Yeah, but like I mean, Christian just said, if you just kill the Night King, it's all over. Yeah. So if got 30 bowmen shooting dragonglass arrows at him, then that might just take care of it.
But don't forget that they also have those ice spears. I mean, and those are dipped in some kind of weird ice magic. So, you know, I have yet to see the Night King even get close enough anyways to any of the living.
Well, and he's on the back of Viserion right now too. Mm-hmm. So they've got to get through Viserion too. So
yeah, and right. He only sends down the White Walkers every once in a while. I mean, we've only seen Jon has killed what, two so far. Once in Hard Home and one for Beyond the Wall.
And Sam killed one.
One, yeah. So we've only really seen a few White Walkers actually get killed. I wonder if all of their,
could do it. I could kill one. I feel like
got some dragon glass lying around or some silver
bravery there, buddy.
They're easy to kill. But I asked Richard Brake, the guy who was playing the Night King during Hard Home, if he saw that meme where he raises his arms and it says "Come at me, bro," and you know, raising his arms was actually about raising the dead that were just killed by all the Whites. Right. They turned into Whites themselves. But he said, it was a challenge. He was looking right at Jon Snow and mm-hmm. it was like a challenge to him. So, yeah, there's definitely a rivalry there, which I think is really cool.
Definitely. That's one of the best. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like a total demonstration of his power. Like, look what I can do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right at Jon Snow.
I just love the gif that was made from that where his, like, his head's bobbing back and forth on his shoulders as the arms are raising. It's like the great, it looks like a little dance, like an MC Hammer dance. I personally
can't touch this.
Jason, how about you? What's one of your greatest hopes? I can't wait to hear yours because I'm sure that they're all dark and death. And
yeah.
Should be good.
No, only one is. I think the other two are a little more positive, but I'll read the cynical one first. So let's see. So I don't know in as much detail as you probably do, Kristen, about the prophecy of the prince that was promised. And some read that as the reincarnation of Azor Ahai. But thousands of years ago, Azor Ahai forged the sword Lightbringer and used it to drive back the darkness, which I think is the White Walkers the first time they threaten the land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he imbued the sword with powers by driving it into his wife Nissa's heart.
Nissa, yeah.
Yeah, and so I feel like this is somehow going to play out between Dany and Jon, where one of them is going to have to destroy the other one in some way in order to defeat the White Walkers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, emotionally, I don't want that because I love both of those characters. But as a lover of this show, I would be okay with it because it's all about just heartbreak and everything can't be exactly the way you want it. And I do think that their White Walkers will be defeated. And I think that Westeros is going to be under the rule of someone more hopeful than it has been. But I think there's going to be a huge cost for that. And if it ends up being where either Dany or Jon has to kill the other one, then that to me feels right for the show, as much of a heartbreak as it is. Because, you know, what we've had Ned Stark, Red Wedding, Oberyn, Khal Drogo killed by the witch, Viserion, the dragon turned into a zombie. It's just filled with stuff like that. And so I feel like to do the show justice, there needs to be another big one of those before it all ends up. And I think this would fit that bill.
Oh, God.
Yeah, actually,
yeah, that's Game of Thrones.
that was actually one of my hopes and dreams, was that it would be that we would get a lot of the prophecy involved in the final season, just because, you know, I understand that there's a lot of casual viewers of this show and a lot of people that are just showing up for the big fights and the sex scenes and stuff like that. But what was that?
That was me poo-pooing all of the casual watchers.
You know, there are a lot of book readers and there are a lot of people who invested a lot of time into this story and into this canon, if you will. And so the prince that was promised, Azor Ahai, like you were talking about, Jason, that's a huge part of the story. And I'd love for them to really bring it in. And how are they going to do that in 6 episodes where 3 of them are under an hour? Burn. I don't know. You know, I'm excited to see what happens.
I feel like they have to put it in there a little bit.
We've
got to get some philosophy stuff in there somewhere.
Even if it's just offhandedly Sam explaining it or Bran or something, it would be cool. But I think it will be realized. I think even if they don't put it too front and center, the lore of it, it's still going to affect how things play out. And I think either Dany or Jon is Azor Ahai reincarnated.
So if it is going to be Azor Ahai and we are going to have a Lightbringer situation, I mean, I don't know how that happens. I mean, there is talk out there that Jaime Lannister is Azor Ahai. Mm. I don't know if you've ever heard that. He doesn't really have like his own sword. He has Widow's Wail, but I don't know that he's really connected to it like Jon is to Longclaw. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dawn is still out there. Dawn is, you know, was Arthur Dayne's sword. Nobody knows really where it is. It was said to return at Starfall, which is where House Dayne's castle is. So I wonder, what if he happens to get his hands on Dawn? And what if he has to plunge it into Cersei? And maybe that's what happens. And then he becomes Azor Ahai.
But that would not be at all tragic.
Well,
be very heroic,
be triumphant,
and happy and nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right. I mean,
no, I mean, it could be, though. Yeah, I could see that.
No,
happening.
You're also right. It's too nice and neat. And Arya would kill Jaime for not letting her do it.
That would be where the tragedy comes in.
I really hope that it is Jon that is Azor Ahai. I, you know, I've been a big cheerleader for the women of Westeros during this podcast, especially when it comes to Sansa and Daenerys. But there is a huge part of me that also thinks that this is Jon's story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the two main concerns of Game of Thrones have always been who will take the throne and you know, set Westeros on a better direction, I guess. And then the second one is defeating the White Walkers. And Dany has always been focused on the throne, and Jon has been focused on the White Walkers. So it just feels right that his role is to defeat them and her role is to take the throne. Now, the show subverts expectations, like Rima said, so who knows? But that feels right to me, and I would be happy if that's the way it played out.
I have a question for both of you. Do you think that Jon should be on a dragon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, should he? Yeah, I think it's right, and I think it's definitely fitting with where the story's at now. Like, you know, they've got Drogon that Dany always rides, and then you've got, you know, Rhaegal, and it just makes sense that he rides Rhaegal, which is named after his father. I think it has to happen. I think especially with, like, what's to come.
Yeah, it's weird. The reason why I even ask is because I always have felt that Jon does better when he's on the ground.
Mm-hmm. He's got to practice.
Yeah, he needs to prove himself, yeah.
Yeah, I think that you're right about that. He needs to prove himself. So it would just be interesting to see him in the air, not doing things, you know? Like, he would think that there was no honor in that. I guess that was kind of my question. Would it be honorable to ride a dragon?
Flying around, burning shit up. That'd be pretty cool.
I want to hear him say Dracarys.
Oh my gosh. Wouldn't that be amazing? Hear him say Dracarys like Dany does. I think it has to happen. I can't, and I'm fully expecting it to. I think that's something that they're going to give us as well. And, you know, considering his family history, and because I don't think anybody can just jump on the dragon and ride it. You know, they can't, you know, we talk about who's going to be, you know, dragon riders, and it can't be just anyone. I don't think the dragons would allow just anyone, you know, to hop on and, you know, get in the middle of a war and defeating White Walkers and stuff. So I feel like we've already kind of seen that bond between Drogon and Jon when they were at Dragonstone. You know, I feel like that's already kind of setting the stage for that. I think we're going to see that bond. I think he's going to, you know, they're going to probably, I think we're going to see some practice come into play for the war to come, and that it will happen. But yeah, I get what you're saying, though. He is a swordsman. He's a great warrior, and he does seem to be very comfortable in battle. I mean, God, look at Battle of the Bastards, look at Hardhome. I mean, in all of his other fights that he's been in, he is definitely comfortable on the ground and on a horse.
But it would be cool to see new things, too. So that's another reason why, yeah, just have him fight one battle. I mean, I'm sure we'll have a few battles in the last season.
Oh, yeah, because I think there's going to be more to come after they fight the dead. There's still going to be more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Every once in a while, I get like super excited, and I just got a wave of excitement.
I know. I got goosebumps. I still have two more episodes to go. I know. I'm so excited. I was rewatching. I've already seen all but two episodes of the last season. My daughter has been rewatching for this week as well. So I've been kind of going back and watching with her, and she gets so angry at me by how excited I get. I'm like a little kid. And so I know that feeling.
Do you have another one?
I do. So this one. Yeah, of course. So I really want and hope that Jaime kills Cersei.
Okay.
It's terrible to wish for someone's death, but I feel it's okay to wish for that with Game of Thrones. And I don't think it's going to be just Jaime alone. I think Tyrion is also going to play a part in this, and that is based on the other prophecy that we know. I said philosophy earlier. Good Lord, I got to slow down my drinking. I meant prophecy that she heard from the witch when she says, "I, queen, you shall be until there comes another younger, more beautiful to cast you down and take all that you hold dear. And then your tears have drowned you. The Valonqar shall wrap his hands around your pale white throat and choke the life from you." I think that's Jaime, because we know that in High Valyrian that's translated as... is it younger or little brother?
Little brother.
Oh, Jesus. I forgot about that part of the philosophy that said she was going to get killed.
Yeah, that part of the prophecy hasn't actually made it into the television show. So I don't know if they're doing that as a way of keeping it open for her death. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're going to hopefully say it this season. I also thought that if she really was pregnant and it was a boy and the baby killed her... That would be kind of like the little brother killing her a little bit. No?
Or also they might not have it in there just so they don't telegraph it too much.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, I think it's going to be something, you know, that Jaime is going to somehow, they're after the battle with the dead, they're going to then go, move into the battle for the Iron Throne, and who's going to win that war. And I think that they're going to be in King's Landing. I think Jaime's going to be there. I think that she's going to somehow have a Mad King moment. I think she's already starting to really kind of lose her shit, and kind of tip a little bit towards the mad, like the Mad King did. And I think that, you know, we still have a lot of wildfire that's sitting under the Red Keep, and I think that she's gonna try to get someone to ignite that, because she knows that she's going to lose. And I think Jaime's gonna be there with her, and he's gonna kill her, and it's all gonna go up in flames.
So you think history will repeat itself?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's gonna destroy the Iron Throne, so therefore there will be no Iron Throne to win, and Dany will have to build anew.
Yeah, I could see something like that. It could also, some kind of confrontation between Jaime and Cersei would be a great bookend to the series, since given what we saw between them in episode one, it's kind of the opposite of that. I could also see them leading us to believe that Jaime was going to kill her and then having her kill him. But I don't know. I think,
you shut your mouth, Jaime.
I think he probably could. If I had to bet, I would bet that Jaime's going to kill Cersei.
I think he will. And I think he's probably going to say the things we do for love. <as he's doing.
laughs> I like that, though. I do. Oh, gosh, I want Cersei to die. I don't even care how it happens anymore. Sorry, Wendy. Jason, how about you? What do you have next?
So even though I said I wanted heartbreak, I feel like there's got to be a balance of heartbreak versus hope in the show. And in that vein, I want to see three characters who I really want to see make it through alive. Can you guess who?
Sam.
Yes.
Yep. Tyrion.
Yep.
And Sansa?
Nope. Gilly.
Daenerys.
Gilly. I mean, okay. Sam without Gilly is a pretty sad prospect.
Like peanut butter without jelly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is Game of Thrones.
Because, you know, Kristen, you gave me a great question to ask John Bradley about how, and Hannah Murray, about how they have the one true pure love that's not at all motivated by power or lies, or at least so far hasn't ended tragically. And they were really happy to talk about that because they're proud of it too. And I would like for the story to end with that intact. And I feel like it will. I mean, I don't know though. See, with Game of Thrones, I have this thing of feeling like Lucy or Charlie Brown and Lucy pulls the football away right before I'm going to kick it. So I shouldn't even say this, but I just feel like they're going to make it through. You know,
I feel like I'm not worried about Sam. I mean, it's really strange, like, because he came up on the show and he was so scared. I don't know if you guys have seen any of them, but last night I decided that I wanted to watch every single one of those little 4-minute videos on the cast remembers for each of the characters. And I was really scared to do it because I didn't know what they were going to show as far as like trailer footage, but it ended up being like really benign, and they just talked about the first 7 seasons as a character. So there's like no spoilers, there's no footage, there's nothing. But Sam, they showed a lot of early footage of him when he first got to Castle Black, and like he just looked like such a wanker, you know, like he's just falling and oh, yeah. He's like, I'm such stuttering. A coward, I'm such a fool. Yeah.
Yep.
I've noticed with Sam over the years, it's every single time the shit hits the fan, or there's, you know, a White Walker in his face, or the Watchers on the Wall episode, any of that, he gets calmer in chaos, and he has this bravery to him that's really kind of separate from everybody else. Everybody else is reacting to the chaos around them, and he seems to like take it in and just be like, okay, well, this is what we're doing now, and I've just got to do what I got to do. Like, I've never seen him actually panic.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not worried about him.
He was at his most broken, well, at the beginning when we saw him, but also when he went to visit his father, and his father was chastising him at the dinner table, and he just had his head held low and look like a sad little boy. And mm-hmm. But yes, I mean, I did ask him about the scene where he killed the White Walker and asked him, you know, if Gilly wasn't there, would that have been a different story? And he said, absolutely. You know, she's the reason why he was able to be courageous like that, because he has something to live for with her there.
I agree with that to a point, but I in this video last night, it also showed him when, I don't know if you remember it because it was such a long time ago, when he was in the middle of Beyond the Wall, and or it wasn't the episode, like he was out there in the snow, mm-hmm. and the White Walker came by.
And was it, you mean when all of the whole army?
Yeah, yeah. But he saw the yes. White Walker, and the White Walker looked at him, and he turned his head and he looked at him straight in the eye, and then the White Walker kept going.
Mm-hmm.
He was alone, you know, he didn't,
but he was scared shitless too, wasn't he?
He was, he turned his head and he looked at that sucker right in the eye.
Yeah. He looked pretty scared to me. I thought he looked so insignificant that I meant to ask him about this too, but why do you think they didn't kill you? Because I thought it was because, oh, this guy isn't even worth killing. And then that will turn out to be their undoing, of course, because he'll have information that leads to their downfall.
He has a book to write, so he has to live.
But then, okay, then there's Tyrion, who he's my hero of this show. He's endured so much, and he's one of the most good-hearted characters. But I also love him because he's also edgy and snarky, and he's super smart and clever and really entertaining to watch. And I just feel like he deserves a happy ending, and I hope the show gives it to him. There's mm-hmm. other characters I could see having a tragic ending that I don't want but would understand. But with Tyrion and Sam and Gilly, I really just hope that they are there spared.
A good one.
Thanks.
I have one that's kind of strange. It's something that I've always wanted to happen. When I first did my very first episode of this podcast back like a year and a half ago, when I was just a guest, I podcasted on season one, episode two, The King's Road. And I still maintain to this day that that is the most important episode of the entire series. If you want to really know about kind of the setup of the story and the characters, and I think that there's a lot of foreshadowing there.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the better moments is that's the episode where Ned and Jon say goodbye to each other for the last time. And mm-hmm. Ned says, the next time we see each other, I'll tell you about your mother. And I had this thought when I was preparing for that podcast that I just really want it to happen now. I want Jon to go down to the crypts. I want him to stand in front of his father's statue as a way of him seeing his father again. And that's where I want Bran to tell him about who his parents are.
That's great.
That's good.
That sounds really cool. And I've wanted a flashback of Ned Stark. I just would love to see Sean Bean back in some capacity.
That would be so good. I mean, I don't think this spoils anything, but I think it's, you know, enough people have said that season 8, you know, is going to be a lot reminiscent of like season 1. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why you're probably, you know, probably spot on with what you said, is because, you know, a lot of what happened in season one has really set everything up. And I feel like there's so much important information and things that happened. And it could just be that they're just doing it kind of as reminiscent of, you know, taking us back. But I think that there's so much there that it's, you know, that kind of plays a part. So that would be awesome. And a flashback of Ned.
You think we're going to see Bran tell Jon that?
I think he is.
Think that there's nobody else that should tell him.
Yeah.
Because Bran said he has to know, right? Didn't he say that in the last season?
I got to talk to Jon. And we had time to get used to the idea of them being related and getting to be okay with it. And also mm-hmm. kind of rationalizing that in this Game of Thrones world, people seem to be more comfortable with that kind of thing. But I feel like it's going to be a big deal to them.
Yeah.
It would be a really big fucking deal for me, man.
I couldn't imagine anything worse, to find out that you were...
You found out Dave was your uncle?
Oh, come on.
that's going to ruin some stuff.
ruined my life. There's not enough therapy in the world for that one. No,
I think that would be terrible. And it's I've actually heard some stories like that, you know, with the whole 23andMe kind of, you know, DNA testing and stuff that's going on. People are finding out that they're like related and they've, you know, been dating or something. So that's actually, so wrong.
There's so much that's wrong with that.
Gonna have so to I feel like, yeah, it's going to be before I date anyone.
I just think there's tragedy for those two.
I don't think it's going to be good when they, because I think for sure John is going to find out, regardless if, you know, it's Bran, which I think it will be, but however it is he finds out, I think it's going to bring a wedge between him and Dany, and not just the fact that, oh gosh, we're lovers and we're related, but also the power struggle, because he's like the true heir, which makes her not, and that's all that she has fought for this entire, well, not all that she's fought for, but for her, it's been a lot about getting to Westeros and claiming her birthright, and then finding out that the birthright's not hers. So I think there's definitely a twofold tragedy that will happen there.
I could totally see him saying, look, just help me defeat the White Walkers and you can have the throne and I'll be the king in the north, though. You know, like, he wouldn't need to claim
it. He doesn't want it. And I don't, but I still think that it would create, I think just because knowing that, that he's the true heir, it would still be enough, you know, I think to cause some friction there. Because no, John doesn't want. I think if he lives, he'll turn it down. He'll want to rule, you know, the north.
Now watch, at the end of this, it'll be, Dany will be on the throne and John will be by his side and we'll be like, oh, all right.
Well, that could work, I guess.
Before I leave this little point, I just really encourage you guys to watch season one, episode two again, if you can, before the first episode. And I only say that because Jorah gives this really great history lesson about the Dothraki and Ghost Grass and kind of what their prophecies are. And that prophecy almost exactly matches up with the Long Night in Westeros. And it's really interesting. So it seems that it all kind of does tie together. To me, I found really fascinating. And when I was doing my research, I remember like my hair stood up on my arms. I just thought it was so cool. So
season one was good.
Yeah, season one was awesome. R.I.P. Ned. How about for you, Rima? What's your third one?
My third one, it's a question I have that I'm hoping gets answered, and that is, what is the White Walker's goal? I'm like, what are these guys up to? Because I feel like Game of Thrones, I think we all know Game of Thrones is more than just a good guys versus bad guys. So I feel like that it's just not enough to have the White Walkers, that they're just marching south just to kill everyone. I know that they were created solely to fight and destroy, but that to me would be such a huge disappointment.
They're like
to
know Terminators.
I mean, if they're just like these,
their mission to exterminate all life.
But that's so damn boring. I mean, if that's all that there is like, we're just going to wipe out humanity because that's what we were created for.
Programmed to do.
Yeah, I just feel like that would be boring. And I feel like it would just be a little bit more nuanced if they just, you know, that it's more than just the bad guys are bad and the good guys are good.
I like it because they're kind of like the Borg. They just are these machines that are programmed to assimilate. And so to me, that makes them feel more like zombies. You know, they're kind of mindless. I mean, they're more intelligent than zombies, but I feel like they're just as single-minded. And that to me is scary because it's like they're this force of nature that can't be reasoned with. Whereas if you started giving them these complicated motivations, then they become more like other kinds of villains that we're used to seeing. So, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it would be interesting to have some kind of a twist like that, unexpected.
I don't know if it has to be really complicated or anything. I don't really expect a huge story. It's just, I just don't want them to be just mindless automatons and, you know, just, we're just here to wipe everyone out. And well, and then what? I feel like there's a little bit of a purpose behind why they're like, are they leaving another big baddie up north? Like, we think they're the bad guy coming marching south. Maybe they're escaping an even worse baddie. I don't know. It's worse than them. I don't know.
And then that's the spinoff.
Right. I don't know. I just feel like I wish there was just a little bit more to it. They don't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be a huge story because, I mean, we only have six episodes. you know, to have all of this play out. So I don't know. I feel like it's just, it's not that simple, but it doesn't have to be complicated. And I really don't want them to be just, well, we're just going to wipe all of you out just because that's what we were built to do. I mean, I do get it's scarier, but I don't know.
The thing about them is the Children of the Forest created them to drive men out.
Right. Because they were
from
being
destroying killed. All their trees. But, then they somehow got out of control, out of the Children of the Forest control. We don't really know why that happened. So I feel like if what you're saying does come true somehow, that it's somehow going to be related to that. Like, why? What did happen? Why did they not function really the way that they were supposed to? They became a threat to the Children of the Forest. And it seems like the Children of the Forest would have been smart enough to not just say, oh, we're just going to program to kill everything. Oh, whoops, we forgot. That means us too. You know, it's got to be something more interesting than that.
Right. Like, all we saw was, you know, them being created. Like, how did they create that first White Walker? By driving the dragon glass into their chest. And but we don't know what happened after that point. We know that, you know, this is why they were created. But yeah,
but, I think the sequel or sequel, the spinoffs might be about that. So I don't know if we'll get very much of that in this final season. I think they might reserve that for the spinoff.
I kind of like the simplicity of it. I like the idea of it just being them just kind of going through and just wiping out everything. It's like
there's no negotiating with it. You just have to fight it. Mm-hmm. And they're like a force of nature.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's plenty of other wily villains in the series, like Littlefinger and people like that, to fulfill that part of it. That it, as much as I like to look at everything as gray area and, you know, think about how we're all on a kind of a scale of good to bad. And, you know, if you walked a mile in anyone's shoes, you'd be empathetic. It is also nice sometimes to just have a villain that's evil and that's it.
Totally.
Like a dark
well, that's kind of like the best part about the Joker in Batman, right? I mean, he's just chaos.
He just loves to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, there's no there's just no negotiating with that. And I get that. There is, I think, I love that too, because it's like, you know, Jason, you mentioned like the Terminator. That's one of my favorite series. Yeah, you know, there's no negotiating with it. It's just on this one mission, and that's to kill John Connor, and it will stop at nothing until its mission is complete. So there is something very terrifying about that. And
until someone reprogrammed him for T2. So maybe someone should reprogram the Night King.
Right. Well, maybe that's what Bran will do. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
right. Sentience, right? Yeah, sentience.
Bran's going to try to do that, and then somehow through timey-wimey, he'll just become him.
Timey-wimey. I love that.
No, my last one is a little more, not very specific, but, and that's because, you know, I'm trying to decide who I'd like to see take the throne. And I think a good combo would be Dany with Tyrion as her hand to help temper her more ruthless impulses. Mm-hmm. But we saw that a little bit Meereen, so it might be a bit repetitive for the show, but I just think that would be a good, you know, person to end up on the throne. But I don't really know. Like, I can't write the show like these guys do. So most of all, I just want a satisfying ending for whatever the state of Westeros is and who has the throne. And that's just been a question since the very beginning of the series. It's called Game of Thrones, so that's what it's about. And I feel like, I don't know, they might throw a curveball at us since it has been a concern of the show this whole time. And Dany's been angling for it this whole time, that it would seem a little too straightforward if she just gets it, you know? So whatever it ends up being, I just hope that I feel satisfied with it. I don't know exactly what it's going to be. I want the writers to wow me, though.
Yeah, I think they will.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this is the one show that you can really pretty much put a stamp on the fact that it'll be great.
It's been so consistently good. Mm-hmm. In my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
season to season.
Shows, it's hard to stick the landing, and some shows that were really great didn't have a great final episode. I didn't really love Battlestar Galactica's final episode, and
Breaking
I love
Bad
that show.
Was great.
It was. There's plenty that do, but Even like Sopranos was, I can get into it, but it wasn't like, oh yeah, fuck yeah. It was more like, let me think about this and decide if I like it, you know. And I want Game of Thrones to be like, yes, that was very satisfying.
I think it's going to be so difficult for them to please everyone, and I know that they've discussed that. It's like how we know we're not going to please everyone. There's going to be some folks that aren't going to be happy with it, but they're going to try to do the best that they can and serve the story at the same time. And I think what their goal was, they themselves talked about, I just read an article last night where they were referring to the Breaking Bad finales, that people always kind of look at the Breaking Bad finale and go, you know, even people that weren't truly happy with it, people still look at it and go, okay, well, that was that an A or an A+? And that's what they want for their ending.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, that's all that I can hope for. I think that they're going to do it. I know that they're worried about it, and they want to make everyone happy, but yet they have to also serve the story, and they're just not going to, especially with this huge fan base. I mean, think of the amount of people that watch this show. There's going to be some people walking away that aren't going to be 100% happy. They might like some of it, but they're not going to be completely thrilled.
I feel like the only thing that would really make me unhappy is if it suddenly plays out like every other story where the hero wins and everyone's happy. You know, that's what I said in my worst Game of Thrones ending. That would be the only thing that would really disappoint me. Like, what?
Like, if they stopped being Game of Thrones instead of, like, killing everyone, everyone lives.
Yeah, like, Jon just goes in and, you know, battles the White Walkers and just totally kills them all, and Dany takes the throne with Tyrion at her side, and everyone's happy, and a new peace comes over the land. I would just be like, whoa, that was so unexpected and not this show.
Maybe that's how they will subvert our expectations.
Yeah, at this point, that's what it would be. That would be the most unexpected thing.
As much as what you want, well, at least for me, as much as I would love to have everyone, and this includes dragons and direwolves, live this, you know, till the end of the show, it's not going to happen.
And so what always gets me about entertainment like this is people think that they want that, but look at what this show is. Mm-hmm. Ned Stark died, Red Wedding, and we all fucking love this show. And if that stuff did not happen, we wouldn't be here, you know? And so for me, I try to separate what I want emotionally, because I like the characters, and, you know, if they were real, what I would want for them as people, versus what I think would make for a great ending to this show, Game of Thrones. And those are two vastly different things, you know? Like, if they were real, then I would want the happiest ending for everyone. But
I like listening to you guys. That was nice.
We rehearsed that before we jumped in.
Yeah. It took weeks. I'm drinking my Iron Islands whiskey right now.
Nice.
Oh, Greyjoy Talisker.
How is that?
It's really good. Smoky, and it's got a salty sea salt quality to it.
Oh,
I only have, the only thing that I have left for my hopes and dreams, other than I really want dragon eggs, I'm really looking forward to reunions in this season. Totally. And I just want them to take the time and not feel rushed and do the reunions right. Sansa and Tyrion, I know I'm not the only one that's looking forward to that one. Mm-hmm. Jon and Arya, a lot of us are looking forward to that.
I think it would be cool if Tyrion and Sansa ended up falling in love.
I actually have it written down. Sansa and Tyrion find their way to each other.
That'd be cool.
That would be interesting. I wouldn't be mad about that.
Yeah, I think that Sansa really deserves a good ending. You know, she's been
I think she's going to live.
I hope so. Yeah. I really do. I really hope so. I voted for her to die over Arya. But, you know, I really do want her to live.
It's just if you have to choose. Yeah,
yeah, if I had to choose. I think Arya has more to offer right now.
What other meetings?
The Hound and Sansa, the Hound and Arya, Jon and Bran, I don't really care, but I know a lot of people do care. Yeah.
The Hound and the Mountain, too.
Say, we gotta get some Clegane Bowl.
Yeah, so I mean, that was really anticlimactic, I think, in The Dragon and the Wolf. You know, you kind of expected more. Theon and Yara, I want to see Theon actually save Yara. I want to see him do some good after all the bad that he's done. You know, I'm really excited for Sansa and Daenerys to meet each other. I'd like to see Sansa and Cersei face off one more time. I'd like to see them in the same scene just once.
Totally. Now that she's grown so much.
Yeah.
She's not that little wilting flower anymore that Cersei remembers.
Theon and his penis. That'd be cool.
I'd like to see Dario. I'd like to see Dario again.
Yeah. I don't think we will, but it'd be cool.
Yeah, I know. The biggest question I really have leaving season 7 and going into season 8, the biggest question I have, and I don't know why I can't let it go, is whether or not Tormund lived through the wall crashing down. I'm really bugged by it.
I know. Because we need to know if he... I think he survived, because if he dies, you'd think the show would show it.
Yeah, I feel like there has to be... And Beric Dondarrion, too. You know, they were both there. I feel like they have more to offer for the story. Whether or not they live to the end, I think that they're going to have a part to play.
They're going to be in the battles.
Yeah, I feel like I have some hope, because you don't get freaking Beric Dondarrion just dying. He's been brought back freaking six times already. So I feel like they have to live, and
he's on his last life.
Yeah. Well, I think he's probably going to sacrifice for, you know, he's going to finally give his final life, and it's going to mean something, I think. What it will mean or for who, I don't know, but I feel like, you know, he's finally going to die and it will be a sacrifice somehow.
But I hope so.
I think he'll be back, so no worries there.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm really hoping that they actually take the time to do a lot of these reunions correctly and really kind of give us as fans something that we've been asking for, especially Sansa and Tyrion. Man, can I not wait for that. And if that falls flat, I'm not going to throw my television out the window, but I might like throw something at it.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that this show has been so great at is creating these open loops where you leave a storyline open and unfinished for years. And then like L plus R equals J. Like that, you know, where we're all like wondering and wanting to know, and then we get to know, and it's so satisfying. And yet there are still some of those open loops left, which is great, because now we're going to get to see those resolved. And I'm sure, that some of these reunions are going to be awesome.
I think we're going to get a lot of full circle moments. Maybe not everything, but I think the things that we need or want, we'll get some of them that will be satisfying.
Yes, totally. Yeah. We better get some. Jeez.
Yeah, no kidding. After this long.
I know. You guys better fucking bring it.
I have a bunch of honorable mentions.
Cool. Go for it. Yeah.
Okay, I'll try to just blast through because I couldn't. I just had so many. But
I say one?
Yeah, yeah.
Howland Reed. I want to see Howland Reed.
Yes, thank you.
Badly.
He was almost on my list. I don't think we're going to get it, but I wish that we could.
I want Howland Reed so bad.
I know.
Maybe
I do
he's
too.
The one that can tell John. I don't give a shit. I want to see Howland Reed real bad.
Me too.
Okay, that's out of my system. Go ahead, Jason.
Okay, I want to see a character that we've come to love get turned into white and fight against everyone else. Because that's what I love about zombies, you know, that, my grandma's a zombie. Now I have to kill her. And we haven't really seen that, I don't think.
Who do you want it to be?
Well, I think Hodor would be the obvious one.
Ah.
I mean, he's already gone, so
he made it back down in the March.
Much of a and he's huge, so that would be pretty formidable, you know.
Well, that we know that they've got a giant in the. We've seen that when the White Walkers were marching closer and closer to the wall, they did have a giant.
They have a lot of them.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, just or even if it was like
that would suck.
Tormund or something, or anybody. Some kick-ass battles with White Walkers and their minions that are thrilling and unexpected. I mean, I'm sure we're going to get that, but I can't wait for it, I guess is what I'm saying. And I want to see the White Walkers actually get really far, like all the way to King's Landing would be cool.
Ooh.
To make it so freaky. I want to see, you guys are going to hate this.
Oh God, I already know
about the dragon.
I already know
about the dragon.
I can't wait to see a lot of action. I mean, you know, if they're going to make a zombie dragon, they need to use it and not let it go to waste. So I'm sure that's going to be like their main weapon. I mean, he destroyed the wall, but he's also got more. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are no more dragons left by the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of at the end of Lord of the Rings, where it's sort of suggested that they're entering into a more modern age where magic isn't around anymore. So, you know, maybe I need to see Bran warging into a dragon. So, you know, maybe Viserion kills Rhaegal and Drogon and we're like, oh shit, he killed them both. What? And then Bran wargs into Viserion and commit suicide. It's really uplifting.
But none of that is anything that I want to see.
No,
it's definitely not. And see, that is actually what we were going to discuss, the what absolutely like cannot happen, or like
it's all that
is, well, it's not all of that. It's the dragons dying. I don't want it to happen, but I also 100% feel in my gut that it's going to happen.
It could. I mean, maybe not.
And my reason that I think that is exactly what you said in your statement, Jason, if I could just interject a little. I don't know if you were finished.
Yeah, no. No, I'm not, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's just because I feel like the dragons came along, you know, they've been like extinct and gone for, you know, hundreds of years or however long. The White Walkers have been like in hibernation for thousands of years or however long. And then the dragons just happen to come along and be hatched when the White Walkers are coming alive and starting their march and growing their army, and that these two things are going to collide. And I think that we need the dragons to defeat the White Walkers. But I think that once the White Walkers have been defeated, that I think that the dragons are also going to die. And then the magic and the real world of Westeros will kind of balance back out, because nobody really believes in magic anymore. Everybody kind of, you know, they sniff their nose at, you know, oh, White Walkers and dead men walking and dragons. And what do you mean? That's just, you know, fairy tale stuff. That I think it's going to bring back that balance. And I think that also means the end of the dragon. So while I am freaking out about it happening, and I'm trying to kind of somewhat prepare myself, because I wasn't prepared when it happened to Viserion, and I think I was like so devastated that I couldn't talk for a week. So I'm trying to get myself in a place of that. And
to accept it if it happens. For me, it's not really a want, come to think of it. Like, it's more of a suspicion. I would be fine if one or more dragons are left at the end of this. I just think that what you said might be true. But what I definitely want is to see some awesome dragon action, and I'm sure we're going to see that.
I have no doubt we're going to see some. And even though it's devastating. On both sides. And as devastating as what it was to see Viserion like go down, it was amazingly awesome to see him at the wall and to see him, you know, breathing
that blue flame.
Blue flame. I mean, that was amazing, because he might be dead, but he's still a dragon and he's still kicking ass. And
he was fast, too.
Yes.
And he seemed almost like electric. Like he was an electric version of a dragon.
Yeah, like his
like
dragon
a Godzilla
noise.
Godzilla villain or something.
Yeah, he still sounded like a dragon, but it was very much, it was like, oh, I love Godzilla, by the way. That was very accurate, but still kicking ass. So it's still kind of thrilling, because even though he's dead and fighting on the wrong side, which is through no fault of his own, because I know he's being controlled by the Night King, but, I think that's what's going to happen, but I don't want it to happen. That's my biggest fear. But also, I'm 100% sure it's going to happen.
That's a good fear. I have the same. I have that. That's definitely also a fear. My fear was actually that Cersei wins.
Right.
You can't have her win in any shape or form.
And it could happen.
No, man. No, man. Listen. If nothing else happens this season, Cersei's fucking dying. Okay, I'll go through the television
write
myself
some fan fiction.
And kill her. I will. I will.
Yeah, do it.
That would be pretty damn terrible. That would have to be one of the worst damn endings. Besides, like Bran waking up from his coma after being pushed out the window and waking up going like, I had the strangest dream. That would be like the most horrible.
Old Nan is still by his side.
That's funny. Oh, sweet summer child.
And then you hear the sounds of Cersei and Jaime upstairs.
No, bro. I love it. I love it that we're like, ew, Jaime and Cersei.
Yay, John and Danny.
Yeah, go for it. Okay, should I do my fear?
Yeah.
I fear after the sixth episode that the show will be over.
Oh, boo. That's a bad fear.
No, that's not my fear.
That's a given.
I don't really have a lot of specific fears. I just kind of what I was saying before, that I fear that the show won't stick the landing, or that, you know, I won't feel satisfied at the end. And I'll be like, oh, that was it. And I don't think that's going to happen. That's just would be the worst thing.
It would be the worst.
So there was an article that came out, and I breezed past it real quick, but I did catch the title because my eyes are not slow enough. But it said, like, what if the final season sucks? What does that do to the legacy of Game of Thrones? And I'm like, well, that's not even a question, man. So why are we discussing that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Star Wars people that just hate it if it's the same, but they also hate it if it's original. Right. And it's just like, exactly. You know what? Why don't you just not see any of the movies and then you'll just be happy?
Exactly. Just don't watch.
Yeah, it's not going to suck. It's going to be awesome.
I think it's going to be great.
I could see the ending being maybe not quite as satisfying as I would like, but I think it's going to be great. I'm pretty optimistic.
Bittersweet. It's what they keep saying.
Yeah,
over
and that's
over
what I want.
Again.
Like, I'm all for that.
I think it's going to be great because they're working so hard to make it great. Like, the Double D's are working so hard. They even directed the series finale episode themselves.
I should hope so.
You know, and you know that they care so much. They've put like 11 years into this, and they care so much. So I think it's going to be great.
They brought back all of their best directors too. They they brought back Miguel Sapochnik, Jeremy Podwesa. And then the Double D's, of course. And there's one other that I'm forgetting. I don't know if they're bringing back Jack Bender or not, but there's a third one. There's only three directors and then the Double D's, and that is it.
I think Miguel's doing two, I thought, but I could be wrong.
I bet you he's doing the big one.
I bet he is. Bet he is. He's the one you want doing those, the big ones.
He directed Battle of the Bastards and what else?
I thought he did Hard Home.
Hard Home, maybe. Yeah, I think you're right.
But I have to double check.
Yeah. Amazing. So amazing.
I was doing the agenda for this episode, and the titles still aren't out.
No.
Which I mean, 2 weeks before the episodes for season 7, all 7 titles were out. Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw episode 6 is called John Takes the Throne, so.
Ah, well, you know, I'm glad that they did that. That's good. It's just called Throne. Aegon.
That is interesting. I bet we won't get it until probably, you know, that day.
That maybe, yeah.
Comes
Keep
out.
A secret.
Yeah, they're locking it down so airtight.
Does anybody have anything else?
Not me.
Nope.
Let's take a break. It's the final countdown. The
final countdown.
And we're back. I've created a little rapid fire questions. A lot of this has to do with some of the polls that I've created on the House Podcastica page. So Rima, since you voted on all the pages, you'll be ready to go with some of them. And then after that, I have a nice little pop quiz for you guys, which I'm really excited about. I don't know why.
Are we competing?
Okay. Yeah, let's make it a competition. Sure.
Everything's a competition.
We're all going to see each other in May. We're all going to see each other in May. So whoever wins has to buy me a shot. Oh, hey. Awesome. And whoever loses has to buy me a shot. Oh, this is a great game.
Love it.
Okay, so here we go. Cersei or the Great War? Which one will be first?
The Great War.
What do you mean by Cersei?
The Battle for the Throne.
Oh. The Great War or Cersei. I think the great, oh God, I don't know. That's a good question. This is supposed to be rapid fire. I think probably Cersei.
Okay. If you were to choose one to die, would it be Jon or Daenerys?
Jon.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. Jon today, I say Jon.
Jon today, okay. will we see Littlefinger again?
No.
I think maybe yes. Just a little. How, you guys are kind of believe.
You guys are awesome at this game.
How
by
is
the way.
That possible? He's dead.
I want Arya to wear his face.
Oh, got it. Yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he's gone.
Who will kill Cersei?
Jaime.
No one.
Little brother.
No, I think Jaime. I think Jaime.
This one you've kind of already answered, but what storyline are you most looking forward to?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
What storyline?
It shouldn't be that tough, but it could
yeah,
kind
of
I
mean,
is.
I'm looking forward to all of them.
I think I just want to see the big battle. I'm a huge fan of the big battles, like Hard Home, Battle of the Bastards. Those are some of my most favorite. I mean, they're all amazing, but those are always some that just really stick out. So I'm really looking forward to a big battle.
Bran is my favorite character, and I hope they do something great with him. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be tragic. I think he's never going to be like he was, and he may even get so disconnected that he ends up being a hindrance at some point. But whatever it is, I want it
to
be good.
They can drown him.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
When in doubt, drown him. If anyone gets a happy ending, choose one.
Sansa.
Tyrion.
Who, if only one, should make it to the end?
Tyrion.
Yeah, Tyrion.
Will we see Dario again?
I don't think so, no.
Is Tormund alive?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are either ors for reunions, okay? Jon and Arya or the Hound and Arya? Like, John. Which one do you want to see more?
Jon and Arya.
Jon, yeah.
Sansa and Tyrion or Jaime and Tyrion fighting on the same side?
Sansa.
Yeah, Sansa and Tyrion.
And will Cersei die before the finale?
Yes.
I'll say yes.
I think they're going to take care of that first, but I don't know for sure.
Obviously. I think it might happen before the finale, but I think the Great War will come before they deal with Cersei.
Want Cersei to be drowned. Okay, so next we have a nice cute little pop quiz. So I got an email. I actually got in
that
a
was
Facebook
really fun by
messenger.
The way
oh cool
yeah, that was fun.
I got in a Facebook messenger chat with one of our listeners, Tom. He's from England and I love him so much, and he's having a party this weekend, and he asked me if these questions were good for like a little quiz for his party.
Are we invited?
And well, no, but I
frankly, no.
Sure, go to England and let's see what happens.
I just might.
But so I found them to be super easy. But then I started asking people in my neighborhood these questions and found out that they might be too hard. So,
oh, gosh.
So I thought that I would ask you guys. And
how many questions do you have?
Give him an answer. 1, 2, 3.
I'm really nervous.
I have 8 questions, but the last one is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-ish things. Oh, my! As a side note, Dave just came into the office and said, it wasn't hard for me.
Oh, no.
So how about me and Rima take turns and we'll count up points? I'll keep score.
Okay. Jason, you can go first. Ready?
Okay.
What 3 kings were married to Margaery?
Let's see. Tommen, Joffrey, and Renly.
Very good. Point for you. Rima, what are bastards named in Dorne?
Sand.
Okay. Jason. Other than dragonglass, what kills a White Walker?
Valyrian steel.
Good. I'm hoping also Dragonfire will be a good answer after season 8.
Yeah.
Fire does kill the whites, right? So hopefully, fingers crossed.
Rima, which direwolf was killed in retaliation for Joffrey's attack?
Lady.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I was trying to remember.
So far, we're
I wouldn't have known that one.
Everybody. Well, I was trying to remember. I knew it was Sansa's direwolf, and I was like, oh my gosh, it was so long ago. I'm pretty sure it was Lady. So, yeah.
Side note, Sophie Turner kept that direwolf as her pet.
She did. She adopted her.
Okay, Jason, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
The Night's Watch uses horn blasts to signal various things. What does one horn blast, two horn blasts, and three horn blasts signify?
One horn blast means it's supper time.
No.
I don't know. Okay, how about if I can't
get it? If you
get
can't answer it, then I'm going to give it to Rima.
Rima can steal. Steal.
Rima, can you steal?
Oh my God. I was really like, oh, I'm so glad you got that question because I thought three, I'm almost positive that three was like, oh shit, somebody's coming to the wall. Because that's what
three?
They did. Three
okay,
was like,
so
when,
I'll give you a hint.
Like when Mance was coming to the wall.
Three blasts has only been used once.
Brunch.
I know they said it, no, but guys... I can't remember.
Okay, so one horn blast means that a ranger is approaching. Two horn blasts means that wildlings are approaching. And three horn blasts means that White Walkers are coming.
Ooh.
I'm so embarrassed.
That's okay.
I'm hanging my head in
but
shame right now. You
just
can't
so everybody
me.
Knows, I get a shot.
You get it.
Okay. Okay. Who
That's
gets the next
Rima's
one?
Turn.
Rima. Where did Daenerys and Viserys exile to?
Pentos.
Where did they go into hiding?
Pentos.
Yes. Good. I almost called Jason John. Jason. Who delivered the final stab to Jon Snow?
That little shithead who was his squire.
Me.
And his name was... Hold on a second. Just kidding. I can't Google it. Oh man, I can't remember his name. I'm horrible with names. Wait, let me just think for a second.
It was his last. It was Jon Snow's last words.
You little shit.
It should have been.
Oh man, I can picture his face, but I can't think of his name.
Little stupid brat face.
Mm-hmm.
Rima, steal it away.
Ollie.
Okay, so. Here we go. So now we have, it's a house words challenge.
Oh no.
So I'm going to go back and forth
okay.
for each of you. Okay.
Rima. First.
These are all house words. Rima. Okay. House Stark.
Winter is coming.
Jason. House Lannister.
Is it the Lannisters always pay their debt?
No.
Oh fuck. I can't remember.
Dave just said it from the other.
Is it?
He's participating.
Lannister. What is it, Rima?
Hear us roar?
Mm-hmm. Hear me roar.
Hear me roar.
Oh,
sorry.
That's really it? Wow, I didn't. Mm-hmm. That didn't even seem familiar to me for some reason. It's so weird.
Rima, over to you. Targaryen.
But, oh, shit. For some reason, I'm thinking Fire and Blood, but I don't think that's...
Yep,
oh, is
you're
it?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Darn,
Jason,
I knew that
house.
One.
Jason, House Baratheon.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
That was definitely Robert's.
Yeah, let me see. House Baratheon. Oh gosh, no, I don't know. They're the stags. I know that.
Yeah, that's good. Rima, do you know the words?
I Baratheon, no, I don't.
Ours is the Fury.
Oh.
And for a bonus one, House Tyrell.
Is that for anyone?
Whoever wants to
Who
shout
says
it out
it first.
Growing strong.
Very good.
Oh, good job.
So I have one more question, Jason. I have it for you.
Okay.
Because I didn't write it down, but I remember
this
I wanted to use
for,
it.
This one's for 10 points.
This is for Jason. Okay. Yeah. This is for 10 points. He's like, I'm down by 10. This is for 10 points. What does the term Valar Morghulis mean? And what are you supposed to say in return?
Valar... Margulis is all men must die?
Yes.
And you say Valar Doharis?
Yes. Is yay! That right?
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Rima, what does Valar Doharis mean? Or do you know what it means, Jason?
You can give it to Rima.
He was really excited.
Go ahead.
Well, it's only fair.
I feel like I took it from him.
It's okay.
No, I don't know it. All men must die. All men something must
serve.
All men must, yeah. Mm-hmm. Serve.
Good.
Okay.
Excellent.
So
you guys did a good job.
It's 8-3.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good job, Rima. Yay. I'm just going to assume that Rima won that.
I'm bringing whiskey, so you guys can have as much as you want.
Perfect. Good job, everybody. That was really fun for me.
That was cool. I knew more than I thought I would, actually.
So what would you say? Are they too hard?
For a Game of Thrones party?
Yeah.
No.
No. I think it had a good balance of some easy and super fun and challenging, like especially like the house words, because
if it's just casual viewers, then they probably won't know hardly any of them, but they're not going to know anything. So I think it's cool.
Yeah, I quizzed Ben when we were recording earlier today for our other podcast, and he knew zero.
No way. Really?
He knew zero. It was so funny. He goes, wow. I epically failed that.
That's hilarious.
Goodness.
So that was a lot of fun. Okay, so we have some hopes and dreams for that I had all of our past hosts send in either an email or voicemail form, since we've had so many guest hosts and they've all been so amazing. And I've really appreciated everybody that has come on and helped me cover the episodes during the whole rewatch. I really just wanted your voice to be heard and have you be a part of the Hopes and Dreams episode. So we do have, I think, like 5 voicemails, and they're quick. So we're going to take it away.
Okay, here's Avelino.
Hi, Kristen. This is Avelino. This is my hopes and dreams for season 8 of Game of Thrones. Actually, I'm keeping this to a very short list. The only hope or dream that I have is that Tormund and Brienne fall in each other's arms and make monster babies. Other than that, I'm trying to keep my expectations low as far as who wins and who loses. As far as my hopes and dreams for the House Podcastica podcast, you have fulfilled them all. So thank you very much. You've done an awesome rewatch. The only thing that I'm sad about is now that, you know, you're in season 7 of Game of Thrones, that our rewatch is almost over. So thank you for letting me be part of the show. And I am so looking forward to sharing season 8 together with you and the rest of the fans. All right. Thank you. Bye.
That was nice.
So nice.
That was so sweet.
Okay. Here is Derek.
Hey, Kristen, it's Derek here. I just wanted to let you know what I want to see in the final season of Game of Thrones. Really excited to see a great ending to this show that's been with us for so many years now. Wonderful to have an ending, really, because we don't get that very often. A lot of shows just stay on until people stop watching them or just get cancelled before they ever get to this kind of point. What I'm looking forward to is seeing some major character deaths, because this is Game of Thrones. I still want it to be Game of Thrones. I still want them to kill off people that I don't expect to happen. I want to have that moment halfway through the season of going, I have no idea how this is going to end. That's what I'm looking forward to, and I hope they really deliver this season. It's going to be really exciting. Looking forward to it. Talk to you soon.
Oh, yep.
Poor Derek.
I love him.
He's obviously heartbroken because he covered all those Marvel Netflix shows and they all just got the rug pulled out. He's like, most shows don't make it to this point.
Yeah, I know. Poor guy. He's such a good podcaster too.
Yeah, he is.
He is.
He's going to be doing the Good Omens podcast, which is an adaptation of a Neil Gaiman book coming out next month on Amazon, I think.
Cannot wait.
It's going to be a joint production with Podcastica. So I'm excited to have him officially part of the network.
Yeah. Super fun.
Good decision. Good decision, boss.
Yeah. Way to go, Godfather.
Derek's just the best, so it's no brainer.
No brainer, yeah.
All right. Here is Wendy.
Hi, Kristen, and all of the House Podcastica hosts and listeners, past and present. My hopes will likely be pretty anticlimactic for me. I don't really have specific plot hopes. I have absolute faith that the showrunners are going to bring it home for us in a spectacularly terrible, awful, in the most amazing way. I am so excited to be shocked and awed for the next 6 weeks. I know that you and I have discussed so many characters and each of their avenues of possibilities for season 8. My true hope is that we are kept on our toes and surprised. I can't tell you how much fun I have had guest hosting on the show and want to thank you for all the hard work you have put into this little nugget of love that is House Podcastica. Mm. It has been really an amazing experience for me, and I have really enjoyed listening to the podcast and being part of it. Finally, I think an interesting story will be told no matter who ends up on the Iron Throne. Truly, the only people I don't want to see up there is Euron or the Mountain. Anyone else, including my girl Cersei, will be an amazing story told, and I can't wait for it. Love you, Kristen. Thanks for everything, Wendy.
That's awesome.
Aww, love you too, Wendy. That's so nice.
That's great.
She's great.
Okay, got two more. Here is Anwen.
Hi, Kristen. What an amazing job you've done bringing the rewatch to the home stretch. It's been such a thrill to listen to and such an honor and a joy to podcast with you, my friend. I'm so excited for the final season. It's so soon and I can't wait to listen along with you. My hopes and dreams for the season. Firstly and most importantly, Cersei must die. And here's how I want it to happen. I think Jaime has to redeem himself fully by dying while saving Bran to come full circle. Then Arya wears Jaime's face to kill Cersei. And I don't want her to reveal that it's her. I want Cersei to think that it's Jaime all along, fulfilling the prophecy. If any other good characters have to die, I want it to be honourably, like fighting to the death, possibly Brienne, maybe saving somebody really important, but of course only after she's had some sweet Tormund love. Sam becomes Grand Maester, Tyrion and or Jon ride a dragon, the Hound kills the Mountain, Theon kills Euron, Arya marries Gendry, Sansa marries Tyrion and they rule the North, and finally Dany and Jon melt down the Iron Throne and make it into a daybed so they can lounge around eating grapes as peace prevails for 1,000 years. That's it.
So basically she wants my worst ending.
Yeah. I love her so much. She's so cute.
I love you too, and that would totally ruin the show if all that happened. But I
want to see the Iron Throne turn into a daybed.
I just want like a unicorn to come and fart rainbows all over.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No, you know what? I want to podcast with Anwen sometimes. I haven't got the honor and pleasure of doing that yet.
She's so great.
I particularly like Arya. How did Jaime die in that?
He sacrifices himself
Save Bran.
Bran.
I like that. Considering what happened early on with Bran, and then Arya uses his face to kill Cersei, because then you'd get the satisfaction of kind of seeing both Arya and Jaime kill Cersei.
Yes,
but I like the bit about her staying Jaime until after Cersei dies.
Yeah, that Cersei won't know that it's Arya, that she thinks it is Jaime.
Yeah,
that little bit. That's
like she
that's
won't do
nice.
That face peel like she did with Walder Frey. You know, right. I want you to know that it was a Stark that you know is you're looking at a Stark's face as you die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a nice little twist there.
Like it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then finally, we have Dave.
Hey there, Kristen and gang. Dave here. Just wanted to send in my hopes and dreams for this final podcast before season 8 finally begins. All I really am hopeful for, all that I'm really hoping for, is that Grimm and the double D's don't just totally do us in dirty and, you know, have something totally tragic where almost everyone dies or something like that. I know it's not going to be a happy ending because they've hinted all along. If you're expecting a happy ending, then you haven't been paying attention. So I'm just hoping it's not too bad, too depressing. Anyways, keep up the great work. Really enjoying the podcast and can't wait for season 8. Thanks.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yep. Thanks, buddy. I mean, thank you, my husband, who I love so much. Blah, 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 blah. Who's been participating in quizzes and questions in the next room. Okay, so we do have a few emails, and the first one is from David Coppett. So he says, dragon versus dragon combat, Jaime and Tyrion fighting together on the same side for the living against the dead. The Hound versus the Mountain, Euron Greyjoy getting his just desserts. Most annoying guy on the whole show. Totally agree, David. Not on Arya's original list, but maybe she can take care of that for us. Sam's finally paying attention while Gilly is discovering some historical detail that may win the entire war. Dany out ruling the realm while Jon Snow is home minding the little dragons as a house husband.
Yeah, John Bradley was really ashamed at Sam, what he did when he ignored Gilly in the Citadel. When I brought that up, he was just like, oh my God, that was the worst thing ever. I hated that so much, which was, you know, he should hate it. But I asked him, you know, I was like, I was totally reading this wrong, but I was like, you know, when Sam met Gilly, she was just kind of led the sheltered life, but it became apparent pretty quickly that she's very curious about the world and wants to learn and learn how to read and everything. And I feel like that makes him a better match for Sam. So do you think that Sam kind of intuited that about her? And that was one of the reasons why he was attracted to her. And he goes, no, he goes, she's encroaching on Sam's territory. He's supposed to be the one that's, you know, the academic, and she's the one who's practical and knows how to do things in the real world. And so when she gets smart, then he feels threatened by that. And so that totally goes along with him ignoring her in that scene and being an ass.
Dick. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, thinking that he's really, really tired because he was working so tirelessly to try to, like, figure out how they can, like, find Dragonglass or try to help with the fight with the Army of the Dead. He was talking about how tired he was, and she commented about that, like, you need to sleep. And he's like, well, the dead don't sleep. So I thought he was just kind of tired and cranky. So I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
it makes sense because, you know, he's so weak in other ways that that's
his strength.
That's where he's in his power. And so if she duplicates that, then it just makes him maybe feel kind of useless. Like, he feels like that's how he can be useful.
Well, he feels purposeful too, because he knows things, and she's not well read because of how she grew up and didn't know how to read. And so this is how, you know, I totally get that. That makes sense. Yeah. But I was trying
I like to see.
That's such a 50s couple mentality. It is. Yeah. Hey, woman, you need to not be smart, okay? Yeah. I'm the smart guy.
What are you doing reading?
Here.
Put that book down.
It's
a flaw, wench. And I want flawed characters. So that's why I kind of, you know, I think it's petty and stupid, but I also like that Sam's not perfect.
He's not perfect.
He needs some flaws too.
Yeah, totally.
Let's see. Okay, so I wanted to go way back because the roots of this podcast are in Game of Microphones, which this podcast is not. But, you know, that's where we all started. And when we started that, we had me and David, who we already read. And, oh, I didn't ask for Karen's. Dang, we got to get that one in. But I have something from Grace and Mr. Blog, who are the other two hosts that started that. So Grace just said, I want to see Bran warging into a dragon kicking ass, which I love. I will be really disappointed if we don't see something like that. And then Mr. Blog said, I hope Arya gets satisfaction. I'm very invested in that list of hers. I'd like to see Jon Snow smile. He would look so cute if he just smiled more often. I definitely want to see Tyrion riding a dragon. I want to see the Hound fulfill his destiny and kill his brother again.
Oh, that's another question. Who should kill the Mountain, Arya or the Hound?
The Hound.
Yeah, the Hound.
I know he's on her list, but I feel like I don't, and maybe it's something that we don't get because it would be too pretty of a wrapped up kind of picture to have Sandor Clegane kill his brother for what he did to him as a child and the torture he put him through. But I feel like that's how it has to happen.
Yeah, that rivalry goes way back, so it feels more important that those are the two.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that Sandor also is one of those characters that we've kind of forgotten about in this discussion that absolutely deserves a happy ending. Some sort of an ending where he's not dying.
Yeah.
I think that he's suffered way too much. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe it'll bring him some peace without his brother out there alive in the world somewhere.
Yeah, he needs to build a church.
And the Hound deserves to be obliterated. I mean, not the Hound, the Mountain. Mm-hmm. To be obliterated.
Yes. Yes, please, and thank you. And then, Rima, you have something from Sean?
I do have something from Sean. So Sean co-hosts with me on Strange Indeed and has, I know, guested with you on here as well. So mm-hmm. he says, it's the last season of Game of Thrones, and I have many hopes and dreams. We see who wins the Game of Thrones. We find out the history of Gendry. Lots of dragons, lots of dire wolves. He says the main hope, which I'm pretty sure we won't see, is Lady Stoneheart. He says this is a huge jaw-dropping moment in the book and would be a huge mm-hmm. historical moment in the Game of Thrones series. That's mm-hmm. a big thing in the book, right?
It's big, and I'm not going to spoil it because I think that Sean is right. Mm-hmm. Lady Stoneheart is something that if you want to know what that is, then you need to pick up the books
exactly.
because it is incredible. Mm-hmm. There's a few things in the books that would change the entire scope of the show, actually, that that's one of them. And there's another one that I'm not going to talk about on the show. But anybody who is a book reader, you know exactly what I'm talking about right now.
Nodding their head.
They're nodding their heads. However you're listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It was not covered. It was not addressed. And it was ignored. And it would change the story 100%.
Yep.
So I'm just going to leave that
yeah.
there.
We'll leave it there and we'll see what happens.
So we have a few listener hopes and dreams from feedback. So here we go. Tammy Clay says, there's one thing that I want more than anything in season 8, and that is for Arya and Sandor to take Gregor down. Boom.
Barry Evett says, I want them to wrap things up appropriately without feeling rushed.
Yeah. Megan Dively Lehman says that Jon Snow turns out to be kind of okay with incest. Oh, that Jon Snow turns out to be kind of okay with incest. Okay, yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
Diana Driscoll from the Aim for the Head podcast says, I'm trying not to get too excited about any possible endings or possible winners. Instead, I'm focusing all my hopes and dreams on reunions and meetings. Sansa and Tyrion, Sansa and the Hound, Jon and Arya, Jaime and Brienne, Jaime and Bran. Oh, Jaime and Bran. Mm. Also, tons of people seeing Winterfell for the first time.
Nice. That's a really good outlook to have. Karen Farr says, I just can't wait for Jon and Arya reunion. I just watched the first season, and when Arya hugs Jon when he gives her needle, I mean, I'm not crying at all just typing this out. Oh. That's sweet.
Karen was also a host for one episode, so I'm happy that she sent something in.
It's nice.
Karen's, and she did the news with me a couple of times, too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I don't know that. Cool. All right, that's our show. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Rima, for coming on. And Jason, I'm really glad that we got to kick off season 8 in this fun way.
Yeah, absolutely. Super fun.
Yeah.
It feels good to, because I feel like the show is so big and epic and complicated that it's hard to keep a grasp on all of it. But I think we did a pretty good job of covering it in an intelligent way, and that was fun. So it was great.
And if not, you know, we said at the top of the show that nobody's brain worked, so it's fine.
The forgetful podcast.
So next week is the episode we've all been waiting for, and our watch begins with season 8, episode 1, Title Unknown.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
Joining us is going to be Lucy, so that'll be really cool because she's a great podcaster and she's passionate about Game of Thrones.
She's been on a number of times. I can't wait to have her back. And as with every episode, we love your feedback. So please send it in using any of the following ways.
Well, if you'd like to write in or record a message and send it in, you can email us at dragons@podcastica.com. We also have our webpage where you can submit feedback as well, housepodcastica.com.
And check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/housepodcastica. And I presume we'll do what we usually do, which is put up a post on that page for each episode. And you can also respond with feedback there.
Yes.
Mine will be streaked with tears.
Me too. Me too. And my notebook's going to be stained with tears the entire time. Yeah.
My phone will go out.
We're also on Twitter and Instagram @HousePodcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcast at podcastica.com, like the Lost Revisited podcast. We have to go back, Lost Revisited, and Strange Indeed, and Walking Dead cast. And soon to come, Jason and Karen show.
Yay, Jason and Karen show. Special thanks to Break of Reality for our new intro music. If you want to check them out, you can do so on YouTube or on their website, breakofreality.com. Thanks to Kirk Manley for our podcast art and Ben Beck for website design. Kirk's work can be checked out on his website, studiokm.com. Ben Beck can be found at thenextlevelnetwork.com. Cersei.
The Mountain.
The Night King.
Euron Greyjoy.
Melisandre.
Bronn of the Blackwater.
Barry Evetts.
You bastard.
I'm not saying you bastard.
We want to kill him, right?
I don't know the guy.
That's what we're saying.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.